Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yud Aleph. Yesterday we brought down the first opinion of Yehuda Omar Shmuel, dealing with a kila, which is a certain type of a four-posted canopy that is not considered very sturdy compared to other types of canopy beds. And we said that Shmuel's opinion was, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that if it was less than 10 tefachim, it would not be something that would be a problem for a person sleeping under it in the sukkah, but if it was more than 10 tefachim, it would be a problem. Today we'll have a Lishna Achrina, a second version of what Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. So Lishna Achrina, according to the second version, Shmuel, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the opinion of Shmuel as stated by Rav Yehuda is as follows. Mutur lishon b'chilas chasanim b'sukkah lefi she'en lo gag. One is permitted to sleep underneath this chilas chasanim, this type of a canopy bed known as a chilas chasanim. This is the kila that we've been referring to. And one can do this in a sukkah because it's not a problem because it doesn't have a horizontal roof. It doesn't have a flat roof. It's coming off on a steep slope, and therefore it is not a flat roof, and therefore it's not a problem. And this is true, afal pi shegovoa asora. This is true, even though it may be more than 10 tefachim tall. So obviously this version doesn't agree with the version that we had from yesterday's year, which I mentioned at the beginning of today's year. More questions, it says, Meisve, we have a Beferish Brisa. Shmuel is a great, great, great Amora, but he doesn't normally argue with the Brisa. And the Brisa says, Hayoshein b'chila basukkah, if somebody sleeps in the chila, underneath this canopy bed in the sukkah, lo yotzi dechavosa, you're not yotzi. So here, Amar Yud Amar Shmuel says that you're Yotzi, even if it's more than 10 Tvachim, and the Brisa says you're not Yotzi. What's going on? So Gemara says, Hocha Vayaskin, you know what we're talking about? B'sheyesh lo gag. We're talking here about that this Kila has a roof on it. So in the Brisa, it's talking about where it does have a flat roof. And Yud Amar Shmuel is talking about Afapi Shagwa Asara, but She'ein lo gag. It doesn't have a roof. So that's a simple explanation that you're talking about different types of Kilas. Gemara says, I'll show you that that's not true. Toshma. Listen to the following brisa. It says naklitin shnayim. Naklitin, we said, was the two-post bed where you had a pole going up from the head of the bed, from the headboard, and then you had a pole going up from the footboard, and there was a bar going across it, and you draped the canopy over this. This is a two-post canopy. So naklitin. That's called shnayim. The chinofos, a regular canopy bed, this was sturdier than the kila, is arbo, has four posts in the four corners. And piras agabe chinofos psula, if you were to go and spread out a canopy over the four posts, so then that would not be permissible, that would ruin it for you if you were sleeping underneath that. However, agabi naklitin sheru, but if you were to sleep underneath the naklitin, which was the two-post canopy bed, we said that is acceptable. That's what the brisa tells us. But it points out, ubavach lo yu naklitin gevoin min hamita asar tefachim. The reason why this is good is because the naklitin aren't going to be more than 10 tefachim tall, and therefore it's not considered significant if it's less than 10 tefachim tall. But the implication is, ha gevoin min hamita asar psula, if it would be more than 10 tefachim, it would be psula. Now here it's talking about a canopy bed, and even though it doesn't have a gag because it doesn't differentiate, it seems to say the difference is only below 10 tefachim and above 10 tefachim. So therefore, how can Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel say that if it doesn't have a gag, it's good? Here in the Brisa, the implication is afa pisha ein lo gag, even though it doesn't have a gag, if it's more than 10 tefachim, it's no good. So Gemara says, no, shiny naklitin, the kvi. Naklitin are different than the kila. Here we're saying that the naklitin type of a bed is a more permanent type of a structure. So therefore, even if it doesn't have a gag, it is considered significant if it's more than 10 tefachim. If it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not considered significant. So therefore, it's not a kashin, Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Gemara says, wait a second, ikvi levi kinofos. So then if it's considered significant in terms of its sturdiness, if it's kavua, so then even less than 10 tefachim, just like the kinofos is even less than 10 tefachim, it's going to be no good. So the naklitin should also be no good if it's less than 10 tefachim. So Gemara says, no, legabi kinofos look via. In comparison to the kinofos, it's not considered sturdy. In comparison to the kila, it is considered sturdy. Legabi kila, kvi. So there are different levels over here. You have the sturdiest one is the kinofos. The next sturdiest one is the naklitin. And the least sturdy, which is not considered the kavua, is the kinofos. So therefore, if the kinofos don't have a gag, then it's going to be acceptable. Again, this differs in the opinion from Yehuda Amar Shmuel from yesterday that said the difference was whether it's less than 10 tefachim or more than 10 tefachim. But in today's opinion, he says, even if it's more than 10 tefachim, afal pi shegvoa asara, if it doesn't have a gag, it's considered not sturdy, and therefore it won't ruin it by akilas chasanim. Gemara continues and says, Darash Rabba Barav Huna. Rabba Barav Huna said the following, Mutter lishon b'kila. He says that you can sleep underneath this canopy bed, He adds that even if it does have a gag, and even if it's more than 10 tefachim, so this is the most lenient opinion. This is more lenient than even the second opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, which is more lenient than the first Lishna that we have for Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Here, Rabba by Rav Huna says that even if it has a gag, and even if it's above 10 tefachim, a kila is not considered a problem. Now, who does he hold like? So this is like the opinion, Kiman ki Rabbi Yehuda. This is like Rabbi Yehuda from the very first daf, the very first Mishnah that we had. Damar lo osi ohal arai levatel ohal keva. He holds that a sukkah has to be a ohal keva. He said even if it's more than 20 amas, has to be a sturdy, specifically kavua type of a structure. And therefore, something that's an arai, this kila, even if it's wide by more a gag of more than a tefach, and even if it's more than 10 tefachim tall, nevertheless, it's still considered arai. And then ohal arai cannot be mevatel an ohal keva. Now, where do we see that? It's not. We learn this in a Mishnah on Daf Chof. We'll learn it in a week or so. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says over there, Noagin hayinu lishon tachas amita b'pnei hazakenim. We would sleep underneath the bed. The sukkahs were relatively small, and everybody wanted to be in the sukkah, so the Tamidim would let the Rabbeim sleep on the bed, and they would sleep under the bed. So it was our minute to sleep underneath the bed in the sukkah in front of the zakenim, and they never said boo. So obviously it must be good. So just like we could sleep underneath the bed, so too we could sleep underneath this kilo, which is an ohel haroi. Just like the bed is an ohel haroi, so too the kilo is an ohel haroi. So the Gemara says, why didn't we just say, Doresh Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda? V'leimo Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. You should have said that. Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Why do you have to tell us over here? Because an ohel haroi is not mevatel ohel keva. Just say that the din is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, no, if we had said that, Yamar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, if you taught us simply that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, I might have made a mistake. I would have said that's only true for the bed. That's what the Mishnah on Daf Chaf is talking about, Amita, but I wouldn't necessarily know it's true for a kilo. Why not? Hav Amina, I might have thought that when Rabbi Yehuda says on Daf Chaf, Hanimili Mita de Legaba Asuya. Amita is normally made for sleeping on top of it. And therefore, anything underneath it is not a normal usage. So maybe only over there did Rabbi Yehuda say that we slept underneath the beds. The Zakenim didn't tell us anything because that's not a normal type of an ohel to sleep underneath the bed. And therefore, that's why it is acceptable. Avokila. The purpose of Akila is to sleep underneath the canopy. The stomach to keep out the bugs, the rain, I don't know why. But underneath the canopy bed is the normal way to sleep. Not on top of the canopy bed. You sleep under the canopy on top of the bed. Avokila, the lesol hasui, it's made specifically to sleep underneath the canopy. Maybe there Rabbi Yehuda would say no. And Malo, he would say that is considered an ohel keva. So therefore, Kamash Vulon, what Rabba Bar Rav Huna is telling us is that the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda is not because it's normal or abnormal to sleep there. It's because the Tama, the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is as follows. Tama the Rabbi Yehuda, the lo asi ol haroi, umavatel ohel keva. And it doesn't make a difference, lo shnor mita, lo shnor kila. His reasoning isn't based upon whether it's normal or not normal to sleep in that area. It's not normal to sleep underneath the bed. It is normal to sleep underneath the canopy, but that's not the reason. The reasoning is because, as Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, the lo asi ol haroi, umavatel ohel keva. So if he just had said that loch is like Rabbi Yehuda, we wouldn't know this. So therefore, he's explaining that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that an ohel haroi is not mavatel an ohel keva. Next Mishnah. We already had this Mishnah in yesterday's shit. Hidle oleas a geffen. If a person is making a sukkah and he takes an attached vine, a grapevine, and it's still attached to the ground, and he uses it as schach. Hidla, he lifts it up over in like a trellis-like structure. Rashi over here in the Mishnah says it's trellid, which is like a lattice trellis-like of a structure that he puts the vine on top of the sukkah. Now, it's still connected to the ground. Obviously, it's possible if it stays connected to the ground, as we'll see from this Mishnah, as we've already learned, if something is mechubel karka, so then it can't be used for schach. So this is no good. Hidlo aleos agef. And likewise, esadalas, a gourd or a pumpkin, you can't use that. It's still attached to the ground. Or the esakisos, some have the girsa kisom. This is no good. We said this is something like ivy. This is a grass that stretches out and spreads out. So you want to use all of these eschach. Vesichach al gabah, some have the girsa al gabon. So if you then put kosher eschach on top of this, so it is no good. Psula. You have over here too much of the non-kosher eschach. So therefore, it's no good. However, in this situation, if there is much more kosher schach, so I'll give you examples again with the numbers. If you had, for example, 60% that was kosher schach, the rest was not kosher schach, it was this combination of airspace and this pasul ischach. So this pasul ischach, this hidla that you're using the gethin or the dalas or the kisim was 20%. It's going to knock it down. So you have less than 50% that is kosher itself. So that's no good. But if you have much more kosher ischach, so let's say you have 80% kosher ischach and only 20% of this non-kosher ischach, so you still have 60% left over if you negate the kosher ischach with this pasul ischach, so then it's perfectly good. Or alternatively, the Mishnah says, Oshe kitzotzon, or if you detach this gethen, dalas, or kisos from the ground, so now it's perfectly good, no longer mechubim to the karka, it's not makabel tuma, so it's perfectly good schach, so then ksheira, the sukkah is going to be kosher. Now, we'll learn a little bit more about this Oshe kitzotzon in the Mishnah. When did you cut this, and does do you need to adjust it or not, because of tasavlum and osri? This will all be discussed in the Gemara. Mark says, this is the rule for kosher ischach, le'aklal. The definition of kosher ischach is kol, now some have the gears over here, kol dover. Anything that is, that's what the Bach says over here, kol dover, shu makabel tuma. Any item that could be makabel tuma is no good for kosher ischach. By definition, it can't be makabel tuma. And the second characteristic, ve'en gidulo min aretz. And likewise, something that's not gidulo min aretz, it's not supported from the ground, so then it is also not kosher ischach. You can't use it for schach. The whole davar she'ena makabel tuma, but something that's not makabel tuma, and here it's an and, the gidulo min aretz, and it grows from the ground, so then it is kosher schach, mesach limbo. You need both of these characteristics. It has to be gidule karka, and can't be makabel tuma. Mora starts off and tells us, Yosef, Rav Yosef, kamei Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna was the Rebbe, and Rav Yosef is sitting down. He asks a question, so he stands up, and we said many times, that was the way they would do it. They would stand up when they had a question, the Rebbe would recognize them, and then they could ask their question, but then they could sit down. So the Yosef comes. So then he sat down. After he was given permission to ask the question, he could go back and sit down. So Rav Yosef asked Rav Huna the following shaila. The Mishnah said, O shekit sotson kishera, if you cut it off, if you detach it from the ground, the gethen, the dalas, or the kisos, so if you now detach it from the ground, it's perfectly good kosher eschach, and therefore it's kosher. So, on this, Rav Yosef said in front of his Rebbe, Rav Huna, the Omar Rav, tzorich l'naneya. So, Rav Yosef said in front of Rav Huna that you have to go and adjust the schach, because you have a problem of tasev olom and osu. We know that the sukkah, the schach has to be coming up there after the walls are made. So the kosher schach has to be there when it is put on as kosher schach. If you put it on as non-kosher schach and then you detach it to make it kosher schach, then you potentially have a problem of tasa lomen osri. That's the way, in fact, we paskin. And Rav Yosef said, this is the opinion of Rav. We'll see, this is actually not the opinion of Rav. This is the opinion of Shmuel. But right now, Rav Yosef said, V'omar Rav. Rav was the one that said that this is his opinion. Tzorich l'naneh. You have to move the schach. And Shulchan Aruch has brought down different opinions as to what it means moving the schach. You have to lift up the entire schach all at once. How much do you have to lift it up? Can you lift up one end, then put it down, then lift up the other end, then put it down? Does it all have to be lifted together? We'll leave that for another time. Right now, it means you have to lift up the schach in some way to designate that you're now putting it on. So it's tasa. You're putting it on now. V'lo min osi. Not already up there before it was kosher schach. So Rav Yosef says, this is Rav's opinion. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, it's not Rav's opinion. Hoshmul Amara. Shmuel is the one that said it. Now, that can be taken in a number of different ways. The simple understanding is, he's just responding that Shmuel is the one that said it. Now, Ahadrinu Rav Yosef LaPei. Rav Yosef was upset. Rashi says he was bekas. He was angry. The Amale, and he said to Rav Huna, I didn't say that it wasn't Shmuel. Atu mi kamin aloch delo Amara Shmuel. Did I say that Shmuel didn't say that? All I did was say, Amara Rav, the Amara Shmuel. In fact, Rav, I was the one that said Rav said it, and yet Taka, Shmuel says it also. But I mentioned that Rav said it. Why did you correct me by saying Shmuel says it? So Rav Huna explains, Amale Rav Huna, Achi kamin aloch, this is what I was telling you. The Shmuel Amara, the low Rav. In fact, you were wrong. Rav didn't say Tzorich L'naneya. It was only Shmuel that said that. You are wrong. Not that Rav and Shmuel said it, but in fact, Rav doesn't hold Tzorich L'naneya, as we'll see, but Shmuel is the opinion that says Tzorich L'naneya. The Shmuel Amora, the low Rav. Because the Rav, Achshure Mechasher, Rav is allowing it to be, and some have the gears over here, below Naneya, without having to go and move it. So Rav is Mechashir just by cutting it, just by the act of cutting it, he holds that that is a significant action, and you don't have to do the Naneya. Kihod Rav Amram Chasida, and this is shown from that which Rav Amram Chasida say. What did he say? Now, his opinion was that women are obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's not the way we paskin, but he held that mitzvahs are chiyuv at night as well as during the day, and therefore it's not a time-dependent mitzvah. If it's not a time-dependent mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to say that it's not time-dependent, so then women will be obligated in tzitzis, no different than a man. We paskin, of course, that laila lavzman tefillinu, that you don't have to wear tzitzis technically at night. Certainly if you're wearing them during the day, you shouldn't take off your talis cotton at night. But the halacha is that technically Laila loves Mantul, therefore it's a time-dependent mitzvah, and we paskin that women are not obligated in tzitzis, and in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan and many others bring down B'davka, this is one of those rare mitzvahs. Tefillin and tzitzis are mitzvahs that women, even though they normally can do mitzvahs asei shesman grom if they wish to, like listening to shofar or shaking lulav and esrog, they shouldn't specifically do the mitzvah of tefillin, they shouldn't do the mitzvah of tzitzis. In any event, Rav Amram Chasida paskin that Laila's man tzitzisu, and therefore he put tzitzis on his wife's clothing. Rama techelta lepirzuma de inshe beise. He put on tchelis onto the garments of his wife. Inshe beise is the language that we use for his wife, the house. The wife is considered the house. And he put it on, as Rashi says, letalis ishto, de kosaba Laila's man tzitzisu. Because he says, urisem is pratlich sus suma. It's for a blind person and not for a seeing person. Abuksus laila is chayiv. And therefore, women are also obligated to mitzvah to say, shelo hazman groma, the noshim chayavos. Now, what did he do over here that we're interested in this right now? So, Rav Amram Chasida put the tzitzis on, but tilon, he hung them in a way, below posak roshi chutin shalem. We know the tzitzis, of course, there are four strands that you put in, and then it becomes eight when you put it into a loop and loop it over. You put it into the hole in the garment. But what he did was he took a one long strand, folded it over, and then folded it over again. And this way he got eight, but it was really one strand. He didn't cut the individual strands apart. So therefore, he first put it in, and only subsequently did he cut them. And he asked, is this kosher? He realized after he had done this, that he had done it. So also the Kamei de Ruchia Barashi went to ask the Rav, Ruchia Barashi, is this kosher or not? So Amalei, so Ruchia Barashi responded to him, and he said, Hochem Rav, this is the way Rav paskins, mefaskon, v'hinksherin. Yeah, all you have to do is cut it now, and that will remove you from the problem of tasiv alob and also. In other words, when you're cutting it now, that is the asiya. It's not that it was previously there, and now you're somehow, it's min ha'osui. No, the actual act of cutting it, mifaskon, when you do that, that is the asiya, and therefore it is sharing. So clearly, Rav holds that the tzitzis, it's not a problem of tasiv alob and osui if you cut it now. Amo psikoson zuhi asiyosin. That is the act of doing it. So too by the sukkah, by the hidla, the vine or the gourds or the ivy, when he does that, hochanami tzitzosin, when he cuts it, zuhi asiyosin. And if it's not a problem of tasiv alob and osui, because this is the tasa. This is the way that it is not considered also you're ready. You're making it right now. So clearly, Rav holds that you don't need to be menaneyad. Rav says the ketzitza, the cutting it, is enough. So we see, Rav Huna had said that Rav is the one that doesn't require to be menaneyad, and it is Shmuel that the one that requires to be menaneyad. So Gemara questions this. V'savar Shmuel, lo aminam psikasa zu yasiyasan? Really, does Shmuel not hold like Rav? Is Shmuel the one that says that cutting it is not adequate? You have to go and redo it? But oh, Tani Shmuel, Mishum Rav Chia. Shmuel was the one that said, in the name of Rabbi Chia. Now, Shmuel really didn't learn by Rabbi Chia. Shmuel was in Bavel, and Rabbi Chia was the uncle of Rav, who was in Eretz Yisrael, so that's why he missed him. He heard it. Mishum Rabbi Chia, even though they lived roughly at the same time, Shmuel was younger than Rav, so it's possible that he wasn't around even in the lifetime of Rabbi Chia, but he probably was, but he never learned by Rabbi Chia. That's why he said this over, Mishum Rabbi Chia, in the name of Rabbi Chia, as opposed to Shmuel Omer Rabbi Chia. In any event, what did he say? He said, Hitil l'shnei kronos b'vas achas. If you put the tzitzis into two corners at once, and then you cut it afterwards. So, again, you're placing a very long chutim of the tzitzis from two of the corners of the baguette, and then only after you tied it in, you then cut it in the middle, and this way you now have the two corners perfectly mitzuyetzes. Now, v'achakach posak roshei chutin shalhen kisherin. Afterwards, if you cut them, Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Chia, said it's perfectly good. So, aren't we talking here, my lav shekosher, that he first tied all the knots on the two corners, and then v'achakach posak, and only afterwards cut them from in between, and it's not a problem of Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Chia, of being tasiv lo min osui. So he holds like Rav, the ketzisasan, zuhi asiyasan. So why are you telling me that Shmuel disagrees with Rav? Shmuel seems to hold like Rav.
So Gemara says, no, that's not the case. The case with Rabbi Chiya was lo sheposek v'achar kach kosher, that he first cut them and only afterwards did he tie them into their corners, and that is perfectly acceptable. The Gemara says, so then what's the chiddush? Posek v'achar kach kosher, my lemeimer. Why would we think not? That's a regular case of putting on tzitzis in a proper fashion. Where it says, no, now the tema, I might have thought, and we turn to Yudala from the days, I might have said, Ba'inon Knaf Bishas Psil. I might have thought that it has to be in one corner. And the Knaf is the corner at the time that you're placing it in there. And therefore, in this situation, it was in two corners at the time that you placed it in there, even though you didn't tie it yet, but maybe Valeko, since it's not in one corner, it's in two corners, that wouldn't be good. So Kamash Run, Shmuel's telling us in the name of Rabbi Chiya that is acceptable. But it doesn't tell us anything about if you tied them and then cut it, would that be good? No. Mestam Shmuel, the name of Rabbi Chiya, Shmuel himself would hold that that's not acceptable. Now the Gemara goes back to question Rav. Meisve, we ask on Rav. Rav said the Ketzisasan Zui Asiyasan. So the Brisa seems to disagree with Rav. To Lon, the Brisa tells us if you put the tzitzis into the corner, below Posak Rosh Yichutin, you put them all in as one string and you didn't cut them off, then in that situation, below Posak Rosh Yichutin, Shalahan, Psulin, it is no good. Now, when this Brisa says it's no good, my la psulin liolam, that it's forever no good until you take it out and redo it again. Even if you cut it, it's not going to be good. So, tiyuftel de Rav, and this would go against Rav. Now, we always could answer that Rav tanahu polig, but we don't like to use that type of a teres that Rav can argue with the Brisa unless we're forced to. So, right now we say tiyuftel de Rav. Does Rav have a way out other than saying Rav tanahu polig? So, Gemara says, yeah, amalach Rav. Rav will tell you, my psulin, when it says psulin over here, psulin, achi pasku. It's psul until you go and cut it. But once you cut it, it's perfectly good. Even though you had tied it beforehand by the ketzitza, by cutting it, that is asiyosin, and it's not a problem of tasiv loman asui. Where it says, Ushmuel amar psulin liolam. But others learn the Brisa, not like Rav, they learn it like the simple way we had suggested, that it means psulin forever. You have to undo it in order for it to be good, but it will never be good this way. And so too said Levi. Chayama Levi, psulin liolam. Levi also said it's possible forever. And the Chayama Rav Nasna amar Shmuel, psulin liolam. And Rav Nasna also said in the name of Shmuel that it's psulin liolam. In other words, the opinion of Shmuel and the opinion of Levi clearly is not like Rav. They understood the Brisa the way it simply is to be understood, and it's a kash on Rav. Rav had a way to explain it, that it's not a kash on him, but clearly Shmuel and Levi are in disagreement with Rav about the ketzitza, that is asiyosan. They disagree. They say you'd have to be minaneyet, because in the schach, that wouldn't be acceptable. And in the tzitzis, it's not acceptable as well. Ika the Amre, others said that instead of saying Rav Masna Amar Shmuel Psulenheim, it was Amar Rav Masna, he said, I myself had this shaila to ask to Shmuel, but did he have you of the, that somebody had made the tzitzis and put them through without cutting them, and then he tied them. And we asked, this came to Shmuel, this question, but Amali, he personally told me, Rav Masna said, Psulin li olam. They are absolutely no good. The only way to make them good would be to totally take them out and redo the whole thing. There's no way to make it good right now. Now, why do we give a Maisa Shahaya? Maisa Shahaya is always stronger than a theoretical statement in the base medrash. So this is a real Maisa Shahaya. It's a very strong opinion that Shmuel held, practical, halacha l'maisa, that this is no good. Okay, but Rav had a different way to understand this, so it's still not a raya against Rav. Try again. Meisvei, the following Brisa. Now here, it says beferish tilon the achar kach posak roshi chutin shalahen psulin. Here it says that if you tied it and then only afterwards did you go and cut the chutin, it is posul. So it is no good. Clearly, it was one string and you tied it and then you cut it afterwards. The Brisa says beferish, it is no good. So therefore, it is against Rav, kasha on Rav. Now, ultimately, we'll say that this is a kasha on Rav, but right now, before we say that, we are going to try to give another slugging up of Rav. The Ode, Tanya Gabi Sukkah. Furthermore, in regards to Sukkah itself, it says Tasav Luminos. It has to be made only after you have the walls up, and therefore it is taset. That's when you make it luminos, and not previously made. So Mikan Amru, the Brisa says, from here we learn out that Hidle Oles Hagefen, they said the last, it's a kisos, if you were to go and hang these things while they were still attached to the ground, the vine, the gourd, or the ivy, if you were to go and attach them, but if you hang them over the sukkah, schach, while they're still attached to the ground, and then the sichach agabon psula, if you then to put kosher schach on top of them, it's no good. Now, what is this Brisa talking about? Hechi dami. If you're going to tell me Yilema b'shalo kitzos and that you didn't cut it, so then da my irya mishum tasiv lo min aasoi, typically the mechubarim ninu. Don't tell me that's a problem because of tasu and also it's a problem because it's not kosher shach because it's still attached to the ground. Ella, what must the brisa be talking about? Ella b'shekitzatzin. The brisa must be talking about that you had already cut it off and still uktani psula that it's no good. Ushmamino, you see from this brisa, not like Rab. The law amina kitzisasin zuasi also no tiyot to the Rab that we don't say that cutting it is the act of asiya. But no, cutting it doesn't do anything because it already is up there. And you have to mibinanei it, like Shmuel. So this b'raisa is a second to Yuftan Rav. So the second b'raisa here, we could answer simply, Rav will tell you, that here we're talking about that he pulled, shalfinu means he to pull the either the vine or the gourd or the ivy off its source. So from the ground, and when he broke it off with his hands, so it still was over there. The shalfinu shalufe means that it was still over there, right by the ground, and therefore you couldn't necessarily tell that it was detached from the ground. Delo minkara asiyo dirhu, and therefore you couldn't really tell that this was not tasav lo minasi. So midirabanan, the brisa said it's no good. However, if you in fact cut it off, you did katsitsa, so then it wouldn't be a problem, and it would be perfectly acceptable as tasa, and it wouldn't be minha osui. So that's how Rav would answer up the second brisa. Gemara says, no, but the first brisa, mikom akom, tolon v'yachakak posach, kashal Rav. The first brisa that we brought down, that if you had the tzitzis, and you only cut them after they were all tied into place, then it's no good, psulin. So that still is a kasha and Rav. So Gemara says, Taki, you're right, it's a kasha and Rav. And while Rav could possibly resolve it, it doesn't use a lashon of tiyufta, the bottom line is that Rav is not the halacha l'maisa. We pass him over here like Shmuel, we pass him like Levi, that in fact, all of these, you'd have to be menaneh. Whenever you have the schach and it was no good, and now you are making it good, you have to be menaneh. You have to move the schach, and that's like you're placing it again now, so it's tase velo min ha'osui. Nadi Gemara wants to suggest that this machlok between Rav and Shmuel and Levi, Rav against Shmuel and Levi, let us say that this isn't just a machlokas amaroyim, but leimo ketanoi. Let us say that this is actually a machlokas tanoim. Where is that? From the following. It says in the Braisa, Ovar v'likton posul. What are we talking about over here? So this is going to be later in the Masechta when we're dealing with what are the kashura dalid meaning. So it's going to talk about the hados. Now the Rashi's are all the way up towards the top of the Omud, about 5-6 lines into the thin lines in the Rashi, where he says Ovar v'likton. So we're talking here about anove hadas, the branches of the hadas that we're going to learn on daf lamid beis in a mission over there. Im hayu anovav merubin me'alov. If in fact you have the berries, the anovav, on these branches are more meruba than the leaves. So anovav, the anovim, the fruit of this hadas, are more numerous than the leaves of the hadas, then it's posel, it's no good. Why? The havalim numar, this is like a spotted, a leopard is called a namer. It's spotted, because it's going to be with these berries, it looks funny. The lo hadaru, and it's not beautiful, and we know by the Arab aminim, ideally they should be hadar. The miyatu, but if you remove the berries, then it's kosher, because they're not intrinsically a problem. Once you remove them, they're not a problem. However, the ein mimatin biyontif, because the misakin mona lahachshir is apostle, because until now they're no good, and if you do this on yantiv, even though they're not attached to the ground, so your example for example, you're allowed to take grapes that you buy in the store that are detached from the ground and pluck them from the cluster of grapes that they're on. That's not a problem of detaching it, but here the problem is you're misakin mona. You're going and making what is not a kosher hados into a kosher hados. This would be equivalent of tovuling something on Shabbos for making it not usable to usable. So you're not allowed to do that. So therefore, Tony Bebraisa Avra al Divri Chachamim Shamu Emimat Biyantiv Likton Biyantiv Posel. And therefore, if you were to do this on Yantiv, it is no good. So you can't remove these berries from the Hados on Yantiv, even though it's no longer attached to the ground. So the Gemara says Leimer Ketanoi. This discussion of Avra the Likton Posel is only according to Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Yo-Yo Tzadok. Tosus points out that this is the famous Tana that Rav Yochanan often quotes on Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. So this is a Tana, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. In any event, this Tana says that if you were to go and remove these berries from the Hados on Yontif, it would be unacceptable, it would be no good. However, the Chacham Mashir, and the Chacham say it's not a problem. The Chacham say this is perfectly acceptable. Why? Savrua, because the Talmidim and the Beis Medrash held as follows. The Kule Alma, they held that everybody holds Lulav Tzorich Eged, that when you're holding the Lulav with the Hadassim and the Arobos together, so we bind them together. So
they must be bound together, and therefore this is a requirement. And both Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, as well as the Chachamim, both hold this requirement. So that's what the Talmidim thought. And the Alfinan Lulav Misukkah, and everybody learns out the din of Lulav from the din of Sukkah. So just like it says by Sukkah, the Siv Gabi Sukkah Tasev Lomina Osui, so too by the Eged, it has to be Tasev Lomina Osui. Now, what then are Rabbi Shimon Yotzadok and the Chacham arguing about? My lab b'halkum ifligi. This is what they're arguing about. The man de machshir sover aminon gabi sukkah kitzisasan zuhi asiyasan. The gabi lulav nami aminon likitasan zuhi asiyasan. That the opinion of the chachamim is that just like by the sukkah, they hold like Rav, that cutting it is enough. You don't have to be minaneya kitzisasan zuhi asiyasan. So to avia, the likita, which is the removal of the berries from the hadas, that's good enough. Zuhi asiyasan. And the fact that it's bound, that's not a problem, because now you're making it, so it's as if you're doing this right now, and the binding is not considered as bound previously. So therefore, it's as if you're doing it right now. Likitasan zuhi asiyasan. So the opinion of the Chachamim is exactly like Rav. And the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, that's like Shmuel. Uman the Pasil, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, who says it's no good, he holds Sava. Lo amrin and gabi sukkah kitzisasan zuhi asiyasan. You require naneya. It's not enough to just cut off the vine, the gourd, or the ivy. You have to actually be minaneya. And therefore, the kitzitsa, the cutting it, that's not the asiyah. And that would be a problem of tasev lo min asui. And therefore, just like by sukkah, it's a problem, so too. V'gabi lulav nami, lo amrin and likitasan zuhi asiyasan. So we don't say the same thing over here. Just removing the berries isn't going to be good enough. It'll be a problem of that the egad came first, and the egad has to come afterwards. So therefore, let us say, this is what the Talmidim wanted to suggest in the Beis Medrash, that this parallel machlokus with the Tanoim parallels the machlokus of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says, no, that's not necessarily so. Lo, because the Kuli Alma, lo, Armin and Gabi Sukkah, Tzitzas, Zuhasi, Yasin. In fact, both Rabbi Shimon Yotzadok and the Chachamim hold like Shmuel, that the Ketzitza is not the Asiya. So then what are they arguing about? They're arguing about, do you learn lulav from sukkah? Man de machshir, according to the Chachamim, will say that you can remove the berries. That's because they don't hold it. It's a problem of tasev lo min asui. Lo yafin and lulav misukkah. They don't learn out the din of lulav from sukkah. So yeah, by sukkah would be a problem, but not by lulav. As opposed to Rav Shimon Yotzadok, man de pasul, so have yafin and lulav misukkah. So therefore, it is a problem. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, you could say that it's not a machlokis tanoim, just like Rav Shmuel, because of the following. The machlokis being Rishim Yotzadik and the Chamim is actually based upon the following. If you in fact hold that the lulav requires the binding, that that is part of the essential mitzvah, so then kuliyama lo pligi the alfina lulav misukkah. Then everybody learns that the din of lulav tasev lo min asui applies as well by sukkah to lulav. Then, what are they arguing about? This is what Rav Shimon Yotzadok and the Chacham argue about. Rav Shimon ben Yotzadok says that, in fact, you are required to do the eged, to bind it together. However, the opinion of the Chacham is it doesn't require eged. And their machlokis parallels the machlokis in the following brisa. What machlokis is this? The Tanya, learning the following brisa. Lulav bein agud bein she'eno agud kosher. A lulav, whether it is bound or not bound, whether the lulav and the hadas and the aravos are bound together, that doesn't make any difference. It's still yotze even if they're not bound together. That's the Tanakama, the Chacham's opinion in this brisa. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Agud kosher, if they're bound together, then it's valid taking of the arba minim. She'eno agud pasul, but if you don't bind them together, then in fact, you're not yotze. Nai taima, the Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning based upon? Yolif lekicha, lekicha me'agudas ezov. He learns it out from the taking of the ezov that they did in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, the Jewish people had to go and put the blood of the Korban Pesach on the two doorposts and on the lintel, and they did this with the agudas ezov. And it said over there that you take the agudas ezov. So just like that, lekicha and the agudas ezov was a requirement. They learned it out, lekicha, lekicha, over here to the lulav and esrog. Kisiv Hashem, it says over there regarding the Korban Pesach, ulekachtem agudas ezov, and it had to be bound together. Agudas ezov. Uksiv Hashem says by the lulav and esrog, ulekachtem luchem by Yom Rishon. You will take them on Yom Rishon, and the Zerishava, ulekachtem malahalim beaguda. By the Korban Pesach, it must be bound together. So too, avka nami beaguda. So too, Rabbi Yehuda says in regards to the lulav and esrog, it has to be bound together. The three species, the lulav, the hodus and the aravos have to be bound together. The chachamim, what do they do with that? Chachamim, lekicha, lekicha, leyafinam. They don't hold this because they're reshava. So therefore, they don't require eged by the mitzvah of lulav. We'll see that it's a din of zekeli v'aveyu, midrabbanan. They do require it, but not on a daraisa level. So where it says, Kaman Ozlo Hodutanya, whose opinion is shown in the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Lulav mitzvah liogdo. It says that it's a mitzvah to go and bind the Lulav. Now, according to who does this go like? Lulav mitzvah liogdo. It's a mitzvah to go be ma'agid the Lulav, to go and bind the Lulav. However, Vimlo ogdo kosher. If you didn't bind it, you still are Yotze. It still is kosher. Now, who does this go like? The Gemara says we have a problem over here. Rabbi Yehuda, if you tell me Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's a requirement to have it, so why would it be the Ebed? Ilo Ogdo, Kilo Ogdo, if you don't do it, am I kosher? Then why would it be good according to Rabbi Yehuda? And according to the Chachamim, who don't require Eged, so then Rabbanan are my mitzvahs, and why is it a mitzvah? So this is what I said before, the Olam the Rabbanan. This price goes like the opinion of the Rabbanan, and when it says it's a mitzvah, it doesn't mean a mitzvah, the Raisa of going and requirement of igud for the mitzvah of sukkah, but it's the mitzvah of zeh keli v'anveyu. Mishum shenamar, the pasuk tells us zeh keli v'anveyu, so the rabbis tell us that in order to make this mitzvah beautiful, hisnoya lefanav b'mitzvah, let's go and make it as beautiful as possible, and you can go beautify it by binding it together. But that's why it's a mitzvah to go beautify it. But if you don't, so then you still yotzei the mitzvah, even if it's not as beautiful as it could possibly be. Okay. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Zah klal, this is the general rule. Kol davar shemakabel tumah v'chule. If it's makabel tumah, it's no good. If it's not gedulei karka, it's no good. And if you want it to be good, it must be both gedulei karka and no longer attached to the ground, and makabel, and it can't be makabel tumah. So how do we know all this? Minu hanimili. So I'm a Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish tells us, this is based upon the anonim hakabot that we had in the Midbar. It says, in general, in regards to anonim, clouds, it says, Omar Kor, the Pasuk in Bereshit says, Ve'ed Yale Min Ha'aretz. So it tells us that there was a cloud, a mist, Eid is referred to as a cloud, a mist, that Yale came up from the ground. Now, just like that cloud, Mo'ed Dover She'ena Makabel Tumah, that water isn't Makabel Tumah, that cloud isn't Makabel Tumah, for Gidula Min Ha'aretz, it sources from the ground. So too, that teaches us, that like the Anani Yaakovot, Af sukkah, the srach on the sukkah, which represents the anon yakabot, dover she'enu akabot tumah v'gidula min oretz, has to be just like the cloud that we mentioned here in Bereshis. It has to be coming from the ground. Its source is from the ground, and it's not makabot tumah. Where it says, that's great if you hold that the sukkah that we sit in on sukkahs is from the anon yakabot. This is a famous machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, which we'll see momentarily. So the Gemara says, Honich leman di omar anani kabotu. This works out great according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that says that the sukkah represents the anon yakabot. So granted, we understand why the schach has to be something like the anonim, which is that it's from the ground and it's not makabot tumah. That works out perfectly fine. Eleman di omar sukkos mamash. Asulahem, according to Rabbi Akiva, says that we sat in physical booths in the Midbar. So then, Michael and Amar, then why is there a comparison at all here to the clouds? So Gemara says, what is this machlokis? The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Ki basukoso shavti esbnei Yisrael. The Pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should know, leman yedu, ki basukoso shavti esbnei Yisrael, that we stayed in sukkos. Now, what does it mean, sukkos? So we have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, anane kavod hayu. This was the anane kavod, the Rabbi Eliezer. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva omer, sukkos mamash asulahem. They were actual sukkos, they were actual physical structures, and not anane kavod. So again, the Gemara says, a little bit repetitious here, Hanichel Rabbi Lezer, this works out very well according to Rabbi Lezer, who says that they were Anani HaKavudu. We understand why we're comparing the Srach to the Eid, Yalim and Oritz, that it's not Makabel Tumah, and it came from the ground. So that works out very, very well, Hanichel Rabbi Lezer. However, El Rabbi Kiva says that it's Sukkos Mamish Asulahem, that's actually talking about physical booths, physical sukkahs. Then what's the comparison to the clouds? Ma'ikel Meimer, what are you going to tell me? So this is a good question. Kiyosu Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Yochanan, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan that Rabbi Akiva would learn it out from the following. On my crud, the pasuk says, Chag Hasukos Tasilucha. This pasuk tells us that on sukkahs you have to make chag, a chagiga. So the pasuk tells us that on sukkahs you have to make chag Hasukos Tasilucha. Now, make a sukkah lechagiga. The chag Hasukos is comparing the carbon chagiga with the sukkah. So therefore, from the hekish in this pasuk, ma chagiga, the carbon chagiga is an animal. So it's a davar she'ein mekabel tumah. Animals aren't mekabel tumah, and the gidula min aretz. Now animals don't grow from the ground, but they're supported from the ground. They eat grass. They're nourished from the ground, so they're considered gidulei karka as well, according to this first understanding. And therefore, just like the karma chagiga is not makabal tumah and it comes from the ground, gidula min aretz, so to the sukkah, av sukkah, davar she'ein mekabel tumah, the gidula min aretz. So Rav Dimi said in the name of Yochanan that this is the source of Rabbi Akiva to say that the schach of a sukkah cannot be makabal tumah and must be gidulei karka. We turn to Yud Beis Amud Aleph now. Where Gemara says, if that's true, then imah chagiga bali chayim, then the karma chagiga is an animal, so too, av sukkah nami bali chayim, then you should be able to use the schach, the hide of an animal, which we know you can't do. So av sukkah nami bali chayim. But if you're making this hekish, so then that would lead to an incorrect halacha lemaisa. So Gemara says, you're right. He also, Ravin, Omer Yochanan, when Ravin came from Israel, he said over the name of Yochanan, this is the reasoning of Rabbi Akiva. Amakra, the pasuk tells us, Bi'os b'cha, migarnecha, umiyikvecha. You'll go collect it from the threshing floor. That's migarnecha, from your goren, umiyikvecha. That means from the vats where you store the wine. So therefore, it means bipsoles goren, v'yeker. It's talking about the remainder, the residue, after you go and do your threshing, and after you go and do your squeezing out of the wine from the grapes. So the leftovers, the psoles, from both the wheat and from the vats. So this straw, or these gedulei karka, that don't have any more the juice of the grapes inside of them, this psoles, goren v'yeker, hakosa medaber. That's what it's referring to. That would be what you should use for the schach of the sukkah. Gemara says, really? Maybe it means ve'ema goren atzmo, v'yekev atzmo. Maybe it means the actual stuff that you thresh, the wheat itself, and the grapes themselves. So Gemara says, Amar Avizera, yekev ksivkan, v'i efsha l'sachibo. If it's talking about the wine, so it says you're going to use wine for schach, it's physically impossible. So obviously you can't be talking about the wine, it must be talking about the residue afterwards. Either the vines or the grapes, seeds, etc. That is currently kosher as schach, but not the wine itself. Maskel or Yirmi says, v'ema yayin korish habo misnir. Maybe it is talking about congealed type of wine, which is solid and could be used as schach from the place sneer, a certain type of a place where they used to make over here this congealed wine. Shu dome li gule dvela. This is like the cakes of figs that we talk about in many places in Shas, and they had these cakes of congealed wine, and therefore it is a solid. So why are you telling me that it means the psolis? Maybe it means congealed wine. Now Reb Zeira, who was the one that said this, that it means yekiv ksivkan, said, oh, we had a perfectly good teretz. Hamil sahav biyodan. I had a perfectly good teretz over here. For also Rav Yirmiyah, along comes Rav Yirmiyah, the shod be narga, and he takes an axe and he breaks it apart. In other words, he schlugged up my suggestion. Shemora says, Rav Ashi omars. Therefore, Rav Ashi said, no, we still can darshan this. Migor necha, it means from your goren, below goren asmo, but not the goren itself. It means from that which is on the floor, but not with the actual grain itself. In other words, it means the leftovers, the psolas. Similarly, miyekvecha, lo yekev atzma. It means from the yekev, from the leftovers, and not from the actual wine itself. Let's go already to the Mishnah. We're almost there. So, Rav Chista Amar Mihocha. Rav Chista is a different derivation. How would Rabbi Akiva know that the schach has to be something that's makab, not makabel tumah and gidulei karka? Rav Chista Amar Mihocha. He says, tzu hohar, v'viu alai zayis, v'ale eitz shemen, v'ale hados, v'ale tmorim, v'ale eitz ovos. So he brings down this pasuk from the Chevyon. Note that Rashi says over here, this is a pasuk from Ezra. Now, that's not surprising at all, because in the Kisvei HaKodesh, we don't recognize Nehemiah as being a separate sefer. It's one of the 24 books, but Ezra and Nehemiah is one sefer of those 24. So when Rashi says over here, Shneim b'mikra echad, that both of them are listed over here in Sefer Ezra, so this pasuk is from Nehemiah, but we call it Sefer Ezra. In any event, the pasuk says you should go and bring all of these things to make your sukkah. Now it says over here, Hados, and it also says Eitz Avos. Hainu hados, hainu eitz avos. Isn't that the same thing? So why is it mentioning it twice? So Amar Rav Chista, hados shote l'sukkah. Rashi explains that a hados shote is she'eno kosher l'luv. Use hadasim that aren't good for the luv. L'fi she'en avoso asuya shol shalosh shalosh alin. That it wouldn't be good for the luv because the hadasim aren't arranged in the three in a row
that are requirements that we'll see later on in the Masechta for Hadassim. So therefore, Rav Chisda tells us when it says Hadas, it means a Hadas Shota that you use it for the Sukkah. And when it says V'eitz Avos, that refers to the good Hadassim that you use for the Lulav. So we see over here that it's two separate things. And we can learn out that the Schach, which is used for the Shota, so that is talking about something that grows from the ground and is not makabel tumah. And this is the other source that we bring down according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. This is a good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shiur.